from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
2018 has just arrived, and Pope Francis is already embarking on a busy schedule of this new year. Where will he be traveling? What can we expect from his reform of the Vatican? Will there be surprises, controversies? Register Vatican correspondent Edward Penton gives us a forecast. And we all make New Year's resolutions, but what about one to be holier? Register contributor Patty Armstrong gives us her tips on how to make 2018 both happier and holier. I'm Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host for Register Radio.
And I'm Matthew Bunsen, the Register senior editor. While everyone runs to the gym after the holidays, many Catholics prefer to focus not just on treadmills, but also on the sacraments, on prayer and the virtues. Coming up, we get some tips for a truly Catholic New Year from Patty Armstrong.
But first, we're joined by the Register's Rome correspondent, Edward Penton. Edward, it's great to have you on.
Great to be back. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too. Well, as we're talking about New Year, we also have to say Merry Christmas because it's still the Christmas season. And I wanted to talk about Pope Francis and how he ended 2017. What did he say during the Christmas holiday and the New Year?
Well, he addressed the Roman Curia again this year and spoke again and warned again about the problems associated with bureaucracy in the Curia. But he was also very positive as well, and spoke about his hopes for the coming year. He spoke over Christmas, well, very much about the Christmas message, and of course in his World Day of Peace message, which was delivered just a few days ago on January the 1st, he made the migrants and refugees very central, a central part of that, as he did with his homily on for Midnight Mass at Christmas. Obviously, it's a very central thing for him, a very key issue for him, and he made it very important in over the Christmas period. He spoke on during his World Day of Peace message about the need not to exhaust the hopes of peace for refugees and migrants, and gave a sort of 4-point plan of action to help them, to welcome them, integrate them, promote their well-being, and to protect them.
He also had some really tough words about this past year.
Yes, he did. I mean, he spoke about, he warned against what he called and injustices. He spoke about not wasting God's love that he gives us every year on that kind of thing, and instead focus on the positive things and obviously loving one's neighbor. But also he thanked also the people who've helped Vatican and the city of Rome has put over the past year. And it all be addressed. As usual, he focused on the trouble spots in the world, and he said that we must remember the children who are stuck in conflict, and he was very strong on remembering children brought up in all sorts of conflicts and suffering, not only conflict, but also suffering and hardship.
You know, one of the ways that Pope Francis really shines is when he goes on trips, and he often goes on trips to the peripheries, as we saw this past year when he went to Burma and Bangladesh. He's starting off this year in just a couple of weeks with a trip to Chile and Peru, and I expect that during that trip we'll see him going out to the peripheries. What's expected during that trip?
Yes, well, it's going to be an interesting trip. I think it's his sixth visit to Latin America now. He wants to really focus, I think, on this visit, on the environment, on the safeguarding creation. I think that's going to be a key aspect of this. Obviously, with the Amazon rainforest there, it's something he can focus on, and the challenges facing the environment over on that continent as well as elsewhere. So he's going to use this visit for that, but he's also going to use it to highlight the situation, the conditions for indigenous people. He's going to have a meeting with Amazonian people in Peru and Lima on January the 19th, and obviously that is also key to him. He's very keen on this issue of indigenous people, but also it paves the way for next year's Pan-Amazonian Synod, and is quite timely in that regard. So it'll set it up quite nicely for him to sort of set the scene, if you like, for that synod next year.
So I know, Edward, that the Pope is traveling in Peru and planning to visit a women's prison, which is something that he makes a habit of doing when he travels, isn't it?
Yes, it is. He often visits prisoners, and he also visits the homeless, the vulnerable, and the elderly as well. So this is something that it's become a sort of regular thing on his visits. He's also going to, I believe, visit prisons in Ireland when he goes there. That visit isn't confirmed, but if he does go there in August, apparently that's also going to be on the itinerary.
Yeah, well, with Ireland in August, he's going for, of course, the World Meeting of Families, similar to the one he did in 2015 in Philadelphia. And he's arriving at a time when Ireland is deeply troubled with secularism. Of course, the church is battered by the sex abuse crisis, and then there's the abortion referendum. So it sounds as though he's going to have a full plate when he gets to the Irish Republic and visits Northern Ireland as well.
Yes, and it is a timely visit. If he goes, of course, it's still not confirmed, but it is likely he will go. It is interesting, especially as Ireland used to be very much at the center of the missionary outreach of the church. It used to be one of the leading centers of missionary outreach, and now it's really quite the opposite. It's become part of the periphery. So it will be an interesting visit for the Pope, and it really to help give a sort of shot in the arm for the faithful who have been suffering a lot through secularism and through the fallout of the sex abuse crisis, which hit Ireland very hard. But as you say, Matthew, there is the referendum on abortion, which also makes the visit timely. They did vote for same-sex marriage, I think, a couple of years ago. So there is an urgency there for the Pope to visit Ireland. And this is, of course, in the context of the World Meeting of Families, too. So that gives it added meaning and significance.
And this is the first visit by a pope since 1979 under Pope John Paul II. So quite a bit of time has passed, and it's a very different Ireland, isn't it?
Yes, that would be an interesting aspect to this, because John Paul II couldn't get to the north, although he tried. He got as far as the border, but he couldn't cross the border when he went in 1979. So there is a chance now, with the troubles over, could get to Northern Ireland. So it'll be interesting to see that. It'll be very historical.
Of course, Edward, not long after Pope Francis hopefully goes to Ireland in August, there will be a synod, another synod. It's the Synod of Bishops on the Vocation for Youth. What are you hearing about this synod in October?
Yes, this synod will be interesting. It's really geared towards helping young people in their hopes, doubts, and worries about life today as growing up as a young person. It's on what they say is the next existential journey to maturity, and help them through their discernment and help them to discover their plan for life and realize it with joy. That's the sort of aim of the synod. It's also being based on the content of Amoris Laetitia, the Pope's summary document of new synods on the family of 2014 and 2015. But there are concerns by some who say that it's being focused too much on sociology and psychology and not enough on scripture and tradition. So it'll be interesting to see just how this synod pans out and whether these concerns are realized, or if it really does give young people instruction that many people would hope this synod might achieve.
Is the Pope traveling anywhere else this year that we know of?
Well, not for certain. There is speculation that he'll visit the Baltic states. That's confirmed. He did want to visit India last year, but that was changed to a visit to Burma and Bangladesh for various reasons. He said on the plane back that he didn't get to India because it really needs a visit of its own. It can't be part of a two-state visit, if you like. So he may go to India as well, but as I say, none of these are completely confirmed. The only one that's really confirmed is to Lima in Peru, which will take place later this month. So we'll just have to wait and see whether he goes to any of these other places.
Now, Matthew, you were on EWTN's News Nightly this week talking about some of these things as well, mm-hmm. and you've heard some rumors about where he might go. What were some of the other things bantered about?
Well, as Edward noted, there's a trip to the Baltics of Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania, which is obviously something of a hot spot because of the involvement of Russia. There's a rumor that he might be heading to Romania, which is considered very solid field for missionary work, for evangelization, especially working against the forces of secularism. As Edward also noted, there's Africa, and then there's also India. Africa's quite remarkable in terms of its growth. So one of the things that we're seeing with Pope Francis is, on the one hand, he's going to the peripheries, as Edward has been talking about. On the other, he's going to places where the faith is growing very rapidly or is still a real bulwark. We see that in Latin America. In Africa, of course, the growth of Catholicism, of Christianity in general, is absolutely phenomenal. And Francis, I think, sees this as an important part of the world to visit.
Yeah, Matthew, you know, speaking about those peripheries, one of the things he's done is created cardinals in some of these peripheries. Of course, we expect there will be more cardinals named this year. Who might they be?
Yes, it's difficult to say at the moment, but what is interesting is that many curial cardinals particularly are either reaching 75 or have gone well past the age of 75. So I think we're going to see quite a few retirements of curial cardinals and replacements of them, but it's not easy to say who they'll be yet. But that's one interesting aspect. Also, there is certain appointments in the United States which could be interesting. Cardinal Donald Wuerl is 77 now, which is 2 years past the retirement age for bishops. So whether he'll be replaced, it's worth watching. But some inside sources say that he wants to stay on for another year or two. But of course, it's really up to the Pope what he decides and who he appoints.
Well, Edward, we didn't talk too much about the ongoing reforms of the Vatican, but of course we will have you on again soon because we like to keep close tabs on what's happening there in Rome.
Sure.
And your reporting is great, and we appreciate it. We invite all of our listeners to follow Edward Penton at ncregister.com. Ed, thanks for being with us today. When we come back, we will be joined by Register contributor Patty Armstrong and get her tips on a holier 2018. This is Register Radio on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More when we return.
In today's world, we have all kinds of misinformation and even disinformation about Christianity, Catholicism, and religion in general. And we need a source that is going to give us direct quotations and authentic news about what is going on in the church.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register, and I'm joined by Matthew Bunsen, who's my co-host here on Register Radio. And we also have Patty Armstrong joining us to talk about making this new year holier. Welcome, Patty.
Hi, thanks, Jeanette and Matt.
So Patty Armstrong is a writer for the Register and also a very frequent blogger, and she has had two great blogs this year just at the end. At the end of the year, you had one that was 20 Holy Hacks to Help You Get to Heaven. It's in the January 7th print edition, but it ran online sometime in December. And then, Patty, you went on to write 20 more Holy Hacks for Happy New Year. So that's 40 tips on how to be holy.
It is, yeah. I didn't know I had 40 in me, but stay tuned because when Lent comes up, there'll be more.
That's awesome. So when you wrote the Holy Hacks, the first one, you had quite a response, but not everything was positive. What are the reactions that you've had?
Well, I had a lot of positive responses, and the article had trended for quite some time. And then I should have known when I posted it on Facebook, I had somebody from high school tell me, you don't need to work to gain God's love. You know, he saved us freely. There's nothing we need to do. And so he looked at this big list of things. I thought, oh, gosh, he probably said typical. And he graduated from a Catholic high school,
yeah.
But I can tell some of my old classmates aren't Catholic anymore. And so I know that on the surface, if you don't understand the Catholic faith, if you think, you know, you're just saved without doing anything to follow up on it, it could seem like a whole list of things we have to do.
Right.
But that's, and I explained, no, yes, we were saved, not because of anything we did, but through the grace of God. But these are ways for us to grow in holiness, to grow closer to God.
And essentially, and you make this point very well, essentially it's for us to stay in the presence of God so that our minds and our actions are present with Him and reflect Him. And that's what is so beautiful. So let's talk about some of these specific holy hacks. Is there one or two that are your favorites?
You know, one of my favorites, are you talking about both articles?
Sure.
Or just the most recent one? Yeah, some of my favorites, I'll tell you two of my favorites in this most recent one, is buying up old nativity stamps that didn't sell at Christmas time and buy enough to use on your envelopes all year. I had that idea one year, I thought, I can put Jesus, Mary, and Joseph on my stamps, using as my stamps all year round. And in a way, you're kind of evangelizing on your envelopes.
Absolutely. So some of these are acts of evangelization. Some of these are acts of intercession. One of the things
right.
I liked the most, and I believe it was in this latest one, which was 20 more holy hacks for a happy new year. And you talk about praying and making every moment last or matter. And so, for example, one of the examples is if you get up during the night to go to the restroom, or for me, if you get up because a baby's crying, to pray for someone when you get up. And I tell you what, I don't always pray for someone when I'm getting up to get that baby who's
right.
crying. And so that was
no,
a great
one. I didn't used to think of that. I used to think, oh boy, I have to get up. And I thought negatively.
Right.
But one night I thought about the women in third world countries that don't even have indoor plumbing, if they have to get up to go to the bathroom, or they have to get up for a crying baby,
right?
You know, it's a lot harder than what I have to do. I get to go back to my nice, warm, clean bed,
right?
And I started thinking, instead of complaining, I should be thanking God for what I have for my child. What about the women who wish they had a child and they don't have to get up for that crying baby? Let's look at it as an opportunity, not just to thank God, but then to pray for those other people that, you know, maybe are sleeping on a dirt floor and don't have plumbing and don't have a child they wish they had.
Well, similar to the one about these prayer triggers, as you put it, the one that strikes me as almost impossible to achieve is to abstain from complaining one day a week. And you say, don't even grumble about the weather. It's so ingrained in us to complain about even the smallest things.
You know, Matthew, I think that is one where you don't even notice you're complaining. And so if you make that as your goal, one of the first things you're doing is you're starting to notice that you're complaining because you weren't even paying attention before. It just comes so naturally.
Yeah.
And so it makes you more aware, and then it helps you to stop complaining.
It's absolutely true. Again, I kind of go back to these little things that happen in my day with kids and the spilled milk or whatever, and how easy it is to, by the end of the day when my husband comes home, just to gripe about all of these little things. And it's beautiful to turn it on its head and to say something positive. That's one of the other things you talk about is whenever you're tempted to gossip, that you should compliment the person that you were just getting ready to gossip about or force yourself to change the subject. And I think these things are in some ways so small, but they add up, and they do add up to make our lives more holy. And that's what this is all about. It's not the hoops and the obstacle course that we need to jump through to be saved. It is something that truly puts us in the presence of God.
Right, because it's a combination of us striving to be more holy, but a lot of suggestions are to benefit other people, too. And it's the little things that we can do. And I said that at the beginning of the article with resolutions. You know, by February, most people have given up their New Year's resolutions, but the experts always say, keep it simple. These are really simple little things, but they become huge. they become life-changing, many of them. So if you start to become more aware of how often you complain and you complain less, and instead of talking about someone, you compliment that person and change the subject, it starts to change you in a very big way. And you're sinning less. You're a better person, so you're glorifying God. You're doing things for other people. One of my other favorites, well, I have two other favorites. We talked about identifying prayer triggers. And years ago, somebody gave me a plant as a gift on my birthday. They heard it was my birthday, and so it was just kind of an impulsive, spontaneous thing. It's someone who goes to my church that I don't even know that well. And I said, you know what? Every time I water this plant, I'm going to say a Hail Mary for you. So guess what? I got another plant at Christmas. I said, okay, two Hail Marys.
That's awesome.
And so he's been getting Hail Marys for weeks. Several times a week for years. And then I mentioned it to a friend of mine, and she has a plant from her mother's funeral. She said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray for my mother if she's in purgatory every time I water this plant. And the other one is pick a day. Pick someone every day that you're going to pray for that you really do not like, or they make your skin crawl. And for me, I tend to pick people that are really rabidly pro-abortion because they upset me terribly. But as much as they upset me, they have more potential in the future of the pro-life movement than you or I do, because if they convert, it's going to be huge, like Abby Johnson and Dr. Yep. Bernard Nathanson. So these people that really make my skin crawl, I force myself to say a prayer for them. And I thought, you know, if you pick somebody every day, who don't I like? Who's bugging me? Who's irritating me? And they are your prayer pick for the day, and you pray for them throughout the day.
Yeah, Patty, one of the things that jumps out from these holy hacks, both the 20 more plus the original, is how by doing these things, you're actually also perfecting the virtues, the cardinal virtues in particular, you know, of temperance, justice, fortitude. All of these virtues that we're supposed to be trying to perfect in our daily lives, and that you're laying out very practical ways of doing it.
And what I've heard from people is, hey, I can do that. Well, that's simple. And they are. I mean, there's nothing. It's not like I'm saying, you know, go on a bread and water fast and, you know, travel everywhere on your knees. It's not that extreme sacrifices. They're just little things. And sometimes we overlook the little things. But when you take a look at how they can make a difference in your life, they really are big things. It's like Saint Therese and her little way. She did a lot of little things, and it really can turn you into a saint. And it doesn't, I mean, it's turning you into a saint. You're growing closer to God, but you're also being more loving and doing spiritual and corporal works of mercy for other people, too.
And one of the things that I've been reading as I've, following the news of this week, everybody has something. Every news site has a little something on New Year's resolutions. They have a little something on how to keep them going. And one of the things I read was about the reason people often fail with New Year's resolutions is that they often rely on their willpower alone to get them accomplished. And so they lack discipline, and so they fail to get these New Year's resolutions accomplished. And basically what was suggested in this article is that these things have to become habits, not simply us relying, making a decision every time to do this or that. And yet it should be habits. And I think that's exactly what you're doing here, Patty, is suggesting that we form new habits instead of the habit of gossiping, or, for example, the habit of when we're waiting. You suggest waiting 5 minutes a day. And gosh, we wait all the time. I mean, we wait for a red light. We wait for this. We wait for that. What do? We pull up our phones and we start flipping through Facebook or something else. Well, you're suggesting when you're waiting, form the habit of, instead of going to your phone, which is certainly a habit of mine, to actually pick up the rosary. or pick up, you know, say one decade in that weight, or say the Divine Mercy chaplet. So everything you're talking about here is about a habit. Why do you call it a hack?
Well, because life hacks are so popular. If you're on Pinterest, all these articles, I love life hacks. They are creative ways to do things better, faster. And nowadays, you know, I read them sometimes and I think, wow, who thinks of these? Like, that is so creative. Or I'm going to do that. And with the first article, I started thinking of all the different ways. I actually was visiting my 92-year-old dad. And I was looking at, he's been going to daily mass for at least 25 years. And he was fully genuflecting. Wow. And that takes extra effort when you're 92. He has this cane in one hand and he's holding onto the pew with the other. And nobody would blame him if he didn't get all the way down and touch the floor. But he did. And he does other things. Like he'll walk with his walker. We'll go to this mall where there's hardly anybody there. And pray the scriptural rosary. And then when the rosary's done, we read from a little book, and every bead is a recitation of the scripture, and then you say your Hail Mary. And then when we're done with the rosary, he's done with his walk. And I see how fully he integrates his faith. And yet when company's over, he puts things aside. He doesn't want anyone to feel like he'll pray his rosary later, or he'll watch EWTN later. He gives his company his full attention. But he integrates his faith into every fiber of himself and his life. And I started thinking of all the ways that, you know, I think all of us have our own little hacks that we do as we try to grow in our holiness. And to realize, like with New Year's resolutions, you know, if you're going to sign up for a gym membership and do a big overhaul on your diet and your exercise, you know, you start to want to slip back into your old self. But with these, there's such little ways of improving yourself that they do become habits. Because
Amen.
It's a little here and there.
Amen.
And it isn't just little things to improve yourself. I came up with things that you could just do good. For instance, if you become a sponsor of a child, how many programs are there where you could become a monthly sponsor to a child? And that doesn't even take any effort, because you can sign up and have this automatic deduction, but you have made a decision that will follow you through every month of the year, where you're going to contribute for the well-being of some poor child in another country so they
Absolutely.
Can go to school and eat.
Just right back to what Matthew said, it's all the virtues, especially justice and things like that. Patty, thank you for your inspiration, for the stories you've told about your father, and just for this creation of culture, Catholic culture in our lives that we need to have. It's been great to have this conversation, and we look forward to the next time. Remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out the National Catholic Register at ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us here on Register Radio on EWTN. For Matthew Bunsen and our producer, Jeff Burson, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless you.
The National Catholic Register is America's most complete Catholic news source, with a comprehensive view of the world from a distinctly Catholic perspective. If it's shaping the world as we know it, you'll find it at ncregister.com.